It's Christmas time. Thank God our bread's got us started. Everybody say Merry Christmas again. Amen. Merry Christmas. One of the things about Christmas is trying to decide what to buy somebody. Now, a lot of kids know what they want. I remember, and I am older, so I don't remember what I said all the time, but I remember I used to get excited about a month ahead of time for Christmas because the Sears Roebuck catalog would come. And, man, I didn't waste my time looking at anything else. I went right straight to the cowboy stuff. I mean, you can get Roy Rogers' gun. You can get Gene Autry's gun, all those things. Man, that's what I was looking for. And then the bicycles and all that. And kids who were really, really good, boys would get a set of pistols and cap gun and a bicycle, maybe an air rifle. And then the girls, they'd get a baby doll or whatever they wanted, a bicycle. Everybody was all excited about getting that. Now everybody's got everything. Do you know that? I mean, most people got so many things. They have to think about what they want for Christmas. Our family does Christmas lists, and the kids don't have much trouble. They run out 4 or 5 pages off the computer, and they've got it all ready. But now most of the adults have to sit around and think about what they want for Christmas. You know why? Because we don't need anything. Most of us don't need a thing in the world. We got everything we need. We've been blessed. God's been so very good to us. Now, it wasn't that way when I was growing up. So far as gifts, I've heard people talking about how bad it was at Christmas time, and I'm pretty old, but we always had a good Christmas, and I always got the, like I said, cap guns and this, that, and the other, and a lot of fruit and nuts and such as that. I remember tangerines. Do you remember tangerines when you were growing up? I mean, they'd be about that big. They were easy to peel and taste like sugar. The last one I had around here tastes like wet cardboard. I don't know what they're doing to them now. But they used to be so good. I mean, once a year you get tangerines, and they were wonderful. But then it seemed like everybody's got everything. And then the question would arise, what do you give somebody that has everything? And people say, what do you give to people? If they've got so many things, what do you give to people who have everything? But I want to turn it around a little bit this morning. And I want to preach to you for a few minutes as we begin to think about Christmas. What do you give somebody who has nothing? And you say, Brother Billy, I don't know if anybody doesn't have anything. Everybody I know's got some things. I know the poverty level in America, what's considered poverty level in America, in most of the countries around the world, is at least middle class, if not high class. We've got so many things. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not talking about how we measure economically, or so far as our economy is concerned, or our relationship to other people's concern. I'm talking about from a biblical perspective. What do you give somebody who has nothing? In the book of Romans, I want to read a couple of passages of scripture and then one in the book of Ephesians. In Romans chapter 3, look at verse 9. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongues, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Let me stop right here. It said their mouth are full of cursing. I don't go, Regina and I don't go shopping on Black Friday or Blue Thursday, either one, if we can get out of it. But we did have to run up to 42 to the Walmart the other day. And if you're listening on the internet, if you were up there, you may be the one I'm talking about. But we were going out of Walmart. She had one little thing to get. She ran in there and got that. We were going out. People everywhere just grabbing. I walked by some of the workers in Walmart. There's a tall black gentleman and another lady standing there. They were just kind of off to the side, and I kind of heard them as I went by. She said, I was trying to keep all this straight. She said, but I give up. And I just stood back and said, y'all have at it. And I kind of knew what they were talking about. Regina used to work in retail. And I mean, people just come in, throw stuff every which way, everything. But as we were going out the store, there was this lady, and she had a package, and she was talking to a Walmart employee there, and she was had it. And she said, if I hadn't have got this, I'd have cussed somebody out. And then I thought, boy, that's a Christmas spirit if I've ever heard it in all my life. I mean, if I hadn't have got this, I'd put a cussing on them. Well, notice what the Bible said here in this passage of Scripture. It says this. It says that their mouth, verse 14, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they've not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped, and that all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Go over to Romans chapter number 8, if you will, please. And let me read just a verse or two there. In Romans chapter 8 and at verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And then turn from Romans, just keep on going a little further, and come to the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, I want to call your attention to verse number 12. That at that time, you without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What do you give somebody who has nothing? And I'm not talking about materialistically. I'm not talking about our possessions. But I'm talking about spiritual nothingness. Those who have nothing. As a matter of fact, my estimation of my spiritual state and your estimation of spiritual state really doesn't matter. And according to the Word of God, there are two groups of people in all the whole world, red or yellow, black or white, American, Chinese, Russian, whoever they are, there are only two groups of people. There are those who are saved and those who are lost. Only two groups. There are those who are alive in Christ, those who are dead in trespass and sin. And that group of people who've never trusted Christ, if you're in the auditorium or if you're in the radio audience, internet audience, according to the biblical perspective view and for the biblical description of those who don't know Christ, you have nothing. What do you mean you have nothing? Well, I read it to you in the book of Romans. Number one, it says there's none righteous. You have no righteousness. Matter of fact, people say, well, I'm as good as anybody else. I'm righteous. That means self-righteous is what that means. But it doesn't matter what I think about me, or it doesn't matter what you think about me. It doesn't matter what I think about you. But it's what God says about us. And he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. Means you have no righteousness. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. That is being right with God. We have no righteousness in ourselves. All of our good deeds mean nothing before God. They're all as filthy rags. The Bible said in that same passage in the book of Romans, they have no understanding. The Bible said, professed themselves to be wise, they became fools. Change the glory of an incorruptible God into the corruptible things as things on the earth. My dear friend, they don't understand. You say, Brother Billy, I think I'm all right. Well, the Bible says you've got a problem. Now, Brother Danny failed. We're not making light of it. I fell back in February. I went fishing with some friend, fell on a boat dock, like broke my shoulder and everything else. But Brother Danny fell yesterday on a boat dock. And he has a serious concussion. He didn't know what day it was, didn't know a lot of things. He just very disoriented, and he's getting better. But please keep him in your prayers. But his thought processes were interrupted. He didn't know what year it was. He didn't know who the president was. I'm not sure that's a bad thing, but but he didn't, you know, he so many things he didn't remember because his thinking was not correct. And the Bible says there's none that understandeth. They have no understanding. That means you don't have a full comprehension of the serious condition of being lost and the reality of a Savior in Christ. In the natural man, you can't receive those things. You have no righteousness. A person who's lost has no understanding. They have no goodness. The Bible said there's none that doeth good, no, not one. None of our goodness. God doesn't count any of that. He said, you have no goodness. He said, they become unprofitable. They have no profit. That is, they don't accomplish anything, eternal value. And then they don't know God. There's none that seeketh after God. They have no desire for God. They have no discernment of God. And they have no delight in God. Those who are lost, and if you're lost this morning, you have no understanding, and you have no godliness, you have no profit, you have no goodness. And it says this, the way of peace they've not known. They don't have any peace. If you don't know Christ, there's no peace. You are bankrupt in regard to that. The Bible said they have no fear of God. They don't have any reverence for God. That doesn't mean being afraid of Him, to shudder before Him, but it means to reverence Him and honor Him. You don't recognize the existence of God. Surrender to Him. The Bible said that you have no justification. In other words, that you're yet in your sin. And if there's no justification, there's no forgiveness. You have no forgiveness as a lost person. The Bible says that the natural man is not subject to the things of God or to the laws of God, and neither indeed can be. You have no ability to keep the law. And the Bible said that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's no way, you don't have any way of pleasing God. And then ultimately in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, it said this, we without God, we were aliens without hope, no hope, no hope. What an awful way to live, no hope. Those who have nothing, they have no righteousness, they have no understanding, they have no godliness, they have no profit, they have no goodness, they have no peace, they have no fear of God, they have no justification, they have no forgiveness, they have no ability to keep the law, and they have no hope. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, you have the quickened who were dead, they have no life. Those who don't know Christ, those who've never been saved, have no life. Why, you say, Brother Billy, I'm walking around. I'm able to eat and drink and have a good time. But the Bible said that she that liveth in sin is dead while she yet liveth. And the Bible describes those who are lost as having no life in them. Adam was in the garden in a perfect environment, had a perfect mate, walked in fellowship with God. And God said, in the day that you eat of this fruit, you'll surely die. And you know what? God kept His word. He died. Adam did not die physically immediately, but he died spiritually. He was alienated from God, and that spirit man inside of him died. And when you get born again by the grace of God, that spirit man's made alive again. Your description this morning has been diagnosed in the Word of God. Nothing. Have nothing to offer to God. Have nothing that pleases God. Have nothing that in regard to your relationship with God. What do you give somebody who has nothing? What did God look at mankind and see? That's what He saw. They had nothing. So what did He do? What must He do? Well, He could eternally consign them to a place called hell. He could eradicate them from the face of the earth and start all over. But God had another plan. Turn back in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9, and I'll get you to follow with me as I read quite a few scriptures here for the next few moments. In the book of in the book of Isaiah, go to Isaiah chapter 9. What did God do? What do you give somebody who has nothing spiritually? In the book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What do you give somebody that has nothing? The Bible said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I go back to Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. It said this, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith. That word propitiation means the satisfaction of every demand through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. He said this, God gave His Son that He might forgive all of our sin. Over in the book of Romans in chapter 5, I read this, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. If you go on over to Romans chapter number 8 again, where I read a little earlier, in Romans chapter 8 it says this, there's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God gave His Son. What do you give to somebody who has nothing? To people who have no righteousness, no understanding, no peace, no life, no hope? You give your Son. God gave His own Son. In the book of Colossians, I read this to you. In Colossians chapter number 2 and verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you find somebody who has nothing, what do you give them? God said, I'll give them my Son. Because in Him is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And look at verse 10. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. If those who have nothing, God gave His Son, who has everything. And when you have the Son, you have everything you need. You have His righteousness. You have His goodness. You have His peace. You have His power. You have His forgiveness. You have His justification. You have His life living inside of you. And thank God, the Bible said He has given us a blessed hope. And we're looking forward to that hope of, that is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're complete in Him. Thank God He gave. I hear people talk about football, and I do like football, love football. And they talk about football players, whether it's a quarterback, a running back, a receiver. And they often describe him this way. He has the whole package. He's got the whole package. Can I tell you, my dear friend, there's only one that's got the whole package. His name is Jesus. And God knew that we didn't have anything, so He gave us everything in the person of His dear Son. Thank God. He that hath the Son hath life, thank God. In Him we have forgiveness. In Him we have peace. Everything's in the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, thank God. No wonder He said in the book of Corinthians, thanks be unto God for the victory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And another place He said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That word unspeakable is an interesting word. I don't think I've used that word this week at all. I don't know that I'll use it next week unless I quote that same verse. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. What's it mean? It means that it is inexplainable. There's no way to explain all that He is. But for those who have nothing, He is everything. In my library, I have a book written several years ago by a Methodist preacher. And it has this title, Perfect Everything. Jesus Christ is perfect wisdom. He's perfect power. He's Prince of Peace. He's perfect peace. He's perfect forgiveness. You're complete in Him. My dear friend, there's no other way to go to heaven. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. My dear friend, if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you'll have everything you'll ever need. You'll have all the strength for the journey. You'll have all the comfort for the discouragements of life. You'll have everything you need. And as David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Several years ago, my uncle, Tom Joyner, lived a wicked life. He was a painter. That didn't mean he has to be wicked, but he painted houses and all for a living. He was an alcoholic. He stayed drunk most all the time. And he was not very pleasant to be around. Several years ago, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was like two different people. He had such a sweet personality. had such a calmness about him. He was not a loud, boastful type man. He was a humble Christian man. He loved his family. He became a great provider for his family. He waited on his wife literally hand and foot for the last several years of her life. He took good care of her while she was in a wheelchair and then finally bedridden. He took care of her, kept working, still kept his job. And I went to see him on Friday. We got up. I had got a phone call that he'd had a heart attack and that he had developed pneumonia. And so we got up Friday morning, and I told Gene, I said, I feel like I need to go see Tom. So we drove to Rock Rapids, and I went in to see him. And he'd not been well. She said his daughter said he'd been sleeping most of the day. And I went in, and I said, can we speak to him? And she said, yeah. And she got to call him Daddy. And he kind of roused a little bit, and I said, hey, Tom. And he opened his eyes and looked at me. And she said, Daddy, do you know who that is? He said, it's Billy. I used to go by the house and take them cassettes, and then I'd take them CDs, and I'd always talk with them and pray. God gave to Tom Joyner everything he needed to live, but he gave him everything he needed to die. When it was time to leave this world, he had a perfect peace. And I said, Tom, it's a good thing to know the Lord. And he said, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. We had prayer together. I thank the Lord for him and thank the Lord for saving him and thank the Lord the fact that heaven's a real place. And that was yesterday, a Friday morning around 11 o'clock. And then he went home to be with the Lord about 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. But I am sure glad that years ago, he who had nothing found everything in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him today, he loves you. God gave his son not to just Tom Joyner, not just to Brother Billy, but God so loved the whole world that he gave the perfect gift, his own son, and he'll meet every need you've got. Will you bow with me in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I want to say to you, Jesus loves you and he died for you. He wants to save you this morning. Those of you who know Christ and you have Christ, you would testify this morning, I've got every need met in him. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All the forgiveness you need is in him. All the forgiveness you need is in him. Salvation, forgiving all of your sin. All wisdom is in him. All peace is in him. All supply is in him. All comfort is in him. He made a promise, I'll never, ever leave thee nor forsake thee. And ultimately, David said this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know him this morning? We have expressed our gratitude to God in thanksgiving. And what an awesome service we had on Tuesday night. So praise the Lord so much for Brother Brad and director of that. Holy Ghost, God did it. He'll give God all the glory, but I know God used him. I'm thankful for that. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ? Are you thankful for him giving you everything? I don't need a thing in the world. I don't know a thing in the world I need. God has been so good to me materially, physically, every way. Such a wonderful, precious family. What a great church. The blessed privilege of serving here. I don't need a thing in the world. But without him, I had nothing. I had nothing. But with Christ, I have everything. I want to ask you this morning in the radio audience, internet audience. What do you have? Not according to what the world says. Not according to your bank statement. But what do you have in relation to what God says? Do you have no hope? Do you have no life? Do you have no peace? Do you have no understanding? Do you have no goodness? Do you have no godliness? Do you have no righteousness? Well, God said that has to be corrected. Can't be corrected by keeping the law. Can't be corrected by good works. He said, I'll give my son, and in him shall all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. He that hath the Son can have life. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that God, the precious Word of God that I've read, our Father, the few comments I've made, that God, you awaken in the heart of some man, a woman, a boy, a girl, their need, that Jesus Christ is perfect everything, and that He's the only gift that can be given to those who have nothing. And God, I thank you that you gave your Son. And our Father, as we enter into what we call the Christmas season, we remember the birth of our Savior, the giving of your own Son. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Our Father, we recognize why you did that. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for giving abundant life. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God now would draw men and women, boys and girls in the building, in the radio audience, internet audience, to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And I'll thank you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Brad, Brother Joe Barry is going to come and sing this morning. While we stand with our heads bowed, eyes are closed, I'll meet you right here in the front. If God's Holy Spirit spoke to you, and you say, Brother Bill, I need you to pray with me, or I need to be saved, or if you just want to come get around this old-fashioned altar, I invite you to come right now. Come quickly as Brother Joe Barry sings. You may want to just start off this, what we call the Christmas season, by once again thanking Him for His unspeakable gift. Listen to Brother Joe Barry as he sings. You come if I can help God.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead is Lord of all creation. Did you know that your baby boy will one day rule all nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Our Heavenly Father, this morning, I want to thank you that you've made us complete in Christ. Those who had nothing, by your estimation and by your divine wisdom, you gave your Son perfect everything to meet every need we've got and supply all that we did not have. I want to thank you that in Him we are complete. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. God, I'm glad that, Lord, you've saved me. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts again in the radio, internet, and in this auditorium. Please don't let anybody that's heard me today die and go to hell. I pray, God, that they'd find every need they have met in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Christmas gift. And we'll thank you and praise you. Lord, I do ask your blessing on all those that we mentioned already that were sick. And we pray today, our Father, for our good friend, Brother Roy, God, that you'd bless him. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.